Good afternoon and welcome to the quarterly All-In Payments call. My name is Catherine Jett. I'll be your moderator for today's call. The call is slated for 60 minutes, will be recorded and transcribed. Next slide, please. Okay, we'll go over a few logistics and housekeeping items. If everyone would just feel free to ask a question in the MS Teams chat section. The way you locate chat is there's a bubble up top on your screen, an icon identified as chat. And during the Q&A session that we have later on in the call, if you're joining via the phone and you wish to ask a question, just raise your hand utilizing star 5. You'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you'll press star 6 to unmute yourself. Now, if you have a question and you want to ask via the MS Teams application, all you need to do is raise your hand, click the raise hand icon. We will identify you, unmute. You'll need to unmute yourself to ask your question. Please limit questions to one per person. Any additional questions that are not answered in the call today, you can send an email to empaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. We have closed captioning available. If you want to activate closed captions in the MS Teams application, just click the three dots above the more in Teams. From there, you'll go down to language and speech and turn on live captions. We also have a closed caption link that you can utilize. It will be in the chat. It will open up closed captions in the browser window. Thank you today for your participation. Next slide, please. All right, we'll go over the agenda. We have a welcome. We have the announcements. The end of year stats, the 2024 trial work level, SGA blind SGA amounts, 2024 ticket payment rates, ePay file stats, ePay reminders, EM payment reminders, resources, and the question and answer forum. Now, next slide, please. At this time, I would like to welcome TPM's EM payments manager, Nicole Black. Take it away, Nicole.
Thank you, Catherine. Welcome, everyone. Happy New Year. This is the last time I promise I'll say it because it is February. Thank you for joining the call. And I want to start off with a few announcements. The 2024 payment resources are now available. I know everyone's happy about that. So please note that the 2024 payments at a glance, the 18-month look-back tool, and the earnings estimator are now available for download in the resource document section on the Your Ticket to Work website. If you have any questions about your payment method, please contact Ian Service at ianservice@ssa.gov. Next slide. All right, so for 2023, we paid out a total of $140,586,777, which equates to a total of 206,338 payments with 71,778 denials. And in case you were wondering, the most common denial reason for 2023 was the beneficiary still receiving federal cash benefits. Next slide. The 2024 trial work level and SGA amounts are as follows. So trial work level for 2024 is $1,110. SGA is $1,550. And the blind SGA amount is $2,590. Next slide, please. All right. So the payment rates. I know that's something you guys have all been looking forward to. So for ENs that are on the milestones outcome method of payment or receiving payments, for your SSI beneficiaries, your phase one milestones will be paid out at $1,788. And your phase two milestones, as well as your outcomes, are paid out at $300. For your SSDI beneficiaries, your phase one milestones are again paid out at $1,788, with your phase two milestones and your outcomes both being paid out at $536. Then for you guys that are on the outcome-only method for receiving payments, for your SSI beneficiaries, that's paid out at $560. And then for your SSDI beneficiaries, it's $998. Next slide, please. All right, we'll move on to the ePay file stats. So the last ePay file was completed in December of 2023. And in that file, we processed a total of 13,275 claims and 4,107 SSNs were paid for a total amount paid out at $7,257,314. And with that, we moved right into the next ePay file. The January ePay file was started on January 30th, so just started last week. Next slide, please. So some ePay reminders. For phase one, milestone four is paid via ePay, but remember that you must, all ENs must submit payment requests for phase one milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Any tickets that are unassigned are not included in ePay. ENs must have passed their annual services and support review. Another thing to remember is that the ePay file is processed in SSN order, not provider ID order. And phase one, milestone four, phase two milestones, and outcomes are all paid via ePay. So ENs are encouraged not to submit for these payment types via the portal when the EN portion of the ePay file is being processed. Submitting for these payments can slow down processing and can cause duplicate claim months. And if you submit a request for phase one, milestone four, or phase two milestones or outcomes during ePay, that SSN will not be processed until it comes up on the ePay file. And please allow TPM to pay all available claims via ePay before requesting via the ticket portal. Next slide, please. Remember, if you have a PII violation, you will be removed from the EN ePay for 3 months or one ePay file. During this time period, you must submit your payment request via the ticket portal. So, for example, if you violate the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, say, for example, now in February, you would then be removed from the next ePay file, which would be in April. All right, next slide. Now on to some EN payment reminders. So the first one deals with the Systems Access Management, or SAM, registration. So all employment networks, they're required to keep their registration current and all information up to date on SAM. So to avoid a disruption in receiving payments, please be sure to address the renewal prior to expiration. And SAM will send out some email reminders prior to your registration expiring. However, if you miss the email or just forget, and you see a diary reason code of SAM CCR registration expired, update required, then the EN must sign into SAM.gov to renew and validate their information. Once this takes place, it does take a couple of days, and then we will go in on our end to update the system so that you'll be able to resume receiving payments. Your payments contacts, please be sure to update your contact information if that changes as it relates to who the person is that we contact for payments outreach. We do this so that we can make sure that you all are receiving the outreach emails from the payments help desk. Outreach emails are sent to the ENs to obtain payment-related documentation when EN payment staff report missing or incomplete information from the payment request that you all submit. And you'll have 9 business days after an outreach email is sent to respond. Next slide, please. As a reminder, Ticket Portal does track the status of your payments in real time, and you can also utilize the Excel function within the Ticket Portal to download reports and view diary and denial information. And payment processing. Another reminder is that the EN Payments Help Desk is not able to provide claim months to request payments. And your payments are also processed within 30 days of receipt. And so what that means is that they're either paid, denied, or placed in diary within 30 days of your submissions. Next slide, please. As always, I know you all have lots of questions and lots of good ideas. So if you have a payment topic that you would be interested in discussing through this forum, our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. So please send those topics to the EN Payments Help Desk at enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide, please. And then if you have questions and you want to reach out to us for assistance, you can reach us by phone Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. Option one is the beneficiary help desk. Option two is the payments help desk. And option three is the systems help desk. If you would like to ask questions or need support via email, you can send your payment related issues to enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And for questions and issues that are related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, and the portal, you can send those to ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Catherine.
Thank you, Nicole, for those very informative updates. We will now open it up to the open Q&A. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question over the phone, if you'll press star five to raise your hand, you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then you'll need to press star six to unmute yourself. And if you're on the MS Teams application, click the raise hand icon. You'll be called on after you're unmuted by the facilitator, and then you'll need to click your microphone to unmute yourself. All right. Rebecca, can you help us identify any raised hands at this time?
Yes. Our first question comes from Tiffany. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video.
Hello. I have a quick question. So I have a ticket holder that I assigned at the end of December. And she had previously had a ticket assigned with vocational rehab. So her phase one milestones were billed with vocational rehab. So it's my understanding that I need to bill in January for phase two. Is that something that I would bill through the portal, or do I need to wait on that for ePay since it is phase two?
Thank you, Tiffany, for that. Thank you for your question. So I want to make sure I heard you right. You have a ticket holder who you just recently assigned. They did work the VR with a successful case closure, so your phase ones are not available to you. And so with this being your first request as a phase two, are you to submit this through the portal or wait for ePay to complete?
That's correct. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. I got it. So with this, I would recommend waiting until ePay has been completed, and then you can do your reconciliation to see if it was paid, and if not, then you would submit for your phase twos.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tiffany. Rebecca, see, we have another hand raised.
Yes. Our next question comes from Lisa. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, Lisa. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you state on the previous, I think the maybe slide 13, that we shouldn't be calling the help desk for assistance with claim, you know, trying to figure out the claim month?
Hi, Lisa. Yes, ma'am. The payment help desk cannot provide you with the actual claim month. And the reason being is that things change in real time as income is updated. So they can provide you guidance or provide you information as to why it was denied, give you any additional assistance, but they cannot tell you exactly which claim month to process for.
Okay. So it's just better for you guys, for us to just guesstimate, and then if it is correct, obviously you'll pay it, and if it's not correct, then you'll just deny it then.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, Nicole. I would just like to add
Hey,
this is Kimberly. We don't necessarily want you to guesstimate about the claim month. You know, make sure you're using the payments at a glance. Make sure you're using the payments already made to you in the portal. So that way you can kind of track where you are. You know, we don't want you just throwing stuff against the wall and see what sticks. So even though, like Nicole said, you cannot call the help desk and they're going to tell you like, okay, for your phase one milestone two, you would need to use this claim month. But make sure you're using the available resources that are in the portal, right? So you can look to see what your last payment was or your payments were, what those months were, and then you can use that as a guide to know that along with the payments at a glance, you'll be able to use that to know what your next payment is, right? And then look at the portal to see what your claim month you were used and use that information. Because we don't want you just wasting your time just sending stuff just to get denied and things like that. So just, I would just suggest use your resources.
Okay. Thank you, Kimberly. I was just thinking there's one in particular that we've been dealing with because the consumer goes in and out of SGA quite a bit, and so it's hard to tell, you know, from, you know, months to month to, you know, where to start with him. So, but we'll try, you know, some other things and then go from there.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
We'll go back to Rebecca.
Yes. Our next question comes from Anthony. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Anthony?
Good afternoon, all. Going through the Ticket to Work portal, I noticed that one of my ticket holders was not there anymore. And I was able to find her based on previous payments, right? The ticket had been unassigned, and the unassignment date showed that it was July 2023. She had three milestone outcome payments available prior to that unassignment, but it went unnoticed. This is the second time this happened. A ticket will be terminated. And when I'm going to look for it, but my ticket holder is not there, why does that occur without any warning that you've had a ticket terminated?
Hi, Anthony. Thank you for your question. I'm going to ask for Kim to sign back on or come off mute and answer this question for you.
All right. So let me just, I want to do like Nicole does just to make sure I understand. So the ticket was unassigned. Well, you went looking for your ticket holder. You couldn't find a ticket holder, but you found your ticket holder in the unassignment list. Ticket was unassigned July 2023. Your concern is, or your question is, when a ticket is unassigned or terminated, why, are the providers not notified?
I thought I mistakenly terminated her because I've been doing some outreach. For the ticket holders, who there's no payments, they're not responding back, and I know we were going to do this thing, this pop-up proof of relationship thing, right? And that's when I noticed she was not one of the ones I unassigned. It was terminated.
Okay. So the ticket was terminated. So I'll try to answer this, but I may defer to Katie. So my understanding, and this may have changed, is that if I'm not sure if a ticket is terminated, if SSA sends out a notification of termination to ENs. I'm sorry, I can't speak to that. Katie, can anyone in SSA confirm, you know, once a ticket is terminated, is there any type of information that goes out to the EN alerting them of the termination?
Hi, this is Katie. No, we don't send a notice to ENs when a ticket holder is terminated. Like you're kind of saying here in the portal, you know, it'll show up in your previously assigned me list, and there is a little checkbox on that screen that if you check include terminated tickets, you will see them show up there. You know, tickets unassign for various reasons, and sometimes the unassignment is a termination. So, you know, without knowing the specific case, you know, I can't speak to what happened in that particular case if, you know, the ticket holder unassigned it, or if something happened in the system and they no longer have a ticket. But that, you know, honestly, we do encourage you to use the ticket portal as a tool that it is, that you can in real time, you know, check your client list. You can at a glance see how many tickets you currently have assigned and see how many were previously assigned to kind of keep an eye on, you know, your clients and their status. But we do not send any notices specifically to ENs.
Okay. Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Anthony. And Rebecca, I see we have more individuals with questions. Can you identify the next one?
Yes, we do. Our next question comes from Sonia. Your audio and video are active. Please click your video, your microphone to unmute and activate video if you like.
Hello, ladies. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm frustrated. Uh-oh. I love the EN payments, quarterly sessions, because this is the most frustrating part for me as the EN. Is that, you know, I'm submitting, my participants are working, my customers are working, I get their pay stubs, I enter them in the portal, and 9 times out of 10, for some reason, it has to be something I'm doing that they're denied. And I know you have to look at the various codes to understand why it's being denied, but if no one's ever explained these codes and you don't know, you know, no one's never explained the payment process to me. They just say submit the pay stubs. How is that supposed to work for one?
Hey, Sonia, thank you for your comment. So I have a couple of things that I can share to hopefully help. The first thing is there are some resources on the Your Ticket to Work site that break out and explain what the denial codes are. If anyone is able to put that link in the chat so that Sonia can grab that and be able to identify where to see the denial codes and where they are on the Your Ticket to Work site, that would be really appreciated. Secondly, there is a training coming up. Is that next week? Next week the 14th already?
Yes, it's February the 14th. I'm ready for it. I'm already on it.
Okay, the year is already flying by. So that would be a great place to start. We're going to go back to basics and deliver the nuts and bolts on processing payments, because it is something that is a step-by-step process, and you need to actually be doing it on a regular basis to kind of get the gist of it. So I would definitely say participate in that, and there's going to be a part two to that, so just make sure that you're available for those. And then anytime you have a question, reach out to the payments help desk, and we will all do our very best to try to help you out.
Thank you. And I have another question. Is there someone in our local cities that we can actually go to for Social Security in person to sit, to go through the process, or is it just strictly the resource at a glance?
So it, unfortunately, there isn't anyone locally that you can reach out to. I would just recommend any roadblocks that you hit, reach out to the payments help desk so that they can try to point you in the right direction on how to, you know, investigate what the roadblock is and try to help you to better understand the processes to request your payment so that you do not have the denials and things getting kicked back to you.
Okay, I have another question. Is this okay? I'm sorry. I'm trying to get it all in.
Can I jump in really quick with a question before we skip over that one? So were you given any kind of initial payments training in like a learning module, or have you taken any online courses we have?
No, because the TTW is not my only responsibility for the company that I work with for. It's like one of my other duties. And so I have so many other things, like it's just another layer of my job. Because the person who was doing the ticket to work left. That person might have went through the training and was prepared. She had to have been, because the company was getting reimbursed on a regular basis for the participants that were going to work. My main duty at the time was placing them. I was suitable. I went through suitability, but my job was getting the the holder the job. Her responsibility was entering all these other factors into your database system. No one never trained me on that.
Yeah, I think we can try to, you know, when you leave here, get you, point you to the best training resources we have, because I definitely think it's not something someone can explain to you over the phone quickly. You know, it is we have an actual training module you can kind of walk through that explains it. Kim or Nicole could, talk about it more, but I think that's one of the big things we lean on, is that, as you come in, we have all this initial training, and it's just maybe you missed all of that training, and I think that's why you're probably struggling as you are right now. Kim or Nicole, is there do you have a link to the modules or anything we could put in the chat?
Link the essential?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Did someone send the link?
Yes, the link for the EN Essentials Employment Network Payments Refresher for February the 14th.
Okay.
The link has been placed in the chat.
I haven't.
So, yes.
And then, Sonia, I'll also make sure that you get the information to access the modules on the Your Ticket to Work website that can give you a high level overview. And if you would have the opportunity to review those before the training next week, I think things will kind of come together better for you and make a little bit more sense.
I have one last question, because I know other people have a question. Should someone in your agency be responsible for this financial aspect of this? Like, we have a finance person who is suitable. Should that person be doing that? Should I be doing the EN, the quarterly meetings, placing the person, the TPA? I'm doing like everything by myself. But should this be delegated to multiple people?
This is Kimberly. So, unfortunately, of course, we can't tell you how to do the dynamics of your company, but I would suggest, there's a lot that's involved.
Yes.
With payments. And of course, we want you guys to be compensated for the services that you provide to your ticket holders. So again, we can't necessarily give you a layout and only suggest that you do have a point of contact that you should use to be able to get that training. Like you said, the person before received the training, but you did not. So I think you would have to have someone that can just really make sure that they have the time, in addition to whatever else they're doing, to get that training, to use the resources that they need. Because again, you don't want to keep submitting payments incorrectly, because that's already causing work, right? So I would definitely, if you guys could take it back to the table and have someone that can really focus on this particular task, making sure that they know the training resources available, sit in on the calls, the quarterly calls, the essential training that's coming up, those different resources, so they can be better prepared and ready when they submit for their payment request. I know, like you said, you have a lot of questions, and I get it, right? But please reach out to the help desk if you have any further questions, and we will definitely, make sure that we're following up with you.
Thanks so much, ladies. I have more questions, but I'm going to hold off.
Yep, just reach out to the help desk. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you, Sonia. Thank you, Nicole and Kim. And Katie. And Rebecca, who's our next individual with a question?
Yes, our next question comes from Casey. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like, and ask your question.
Hi, ladies. How is everyone?
Hi, Casey.
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. My question, okay, so the last, I would say, 3 or 4 of our EN payments calls, the number one reason for denials was code 2 receiving federal cash benefits. That's kind of a tough one for us because, as you know, the portal is not gospel. Is there any type of plan in place to kind of maybe get that a little more updated in a timely manner so we're not retroactively unassigning a ticket because they weren't eligible, or submitting all these payment requests and they're being denied when the portal shows that they're actually eligible for those payments? So is there any type of process to maybe try to get that portal information as accurate as possible? Because that is unfortunately where we have to get our payment information from. So the more accurate it could be would definitely help our organization.
Thank you for your question, Casey. I'm going to turn that one over to Katie.
So I do want to clarify. So the portal does not show you anyone's status with Social Security, whether they are receiving federal cash benefits or not. So that information is not available in the portal. The only thing the portal will indicate is if you go to request a payment, it'll tell you if there are an indication of enough earnings to submit the request. But having the earnings there does not mean that that person is, you know, that their current pay status is, you know, is the same that'll make them do an outcome payment. So that information is not in the portal.
And I'm just kind of curious, that's obviously probably more than likely creating an overpayment for our beneficiaries if we have pay stubs over SGA and they are receiving federal cash benefits at the same time. So that's kind of just something I wanted to bring up to see if there was anything in the plan to maybe get that a little updated better.
All right.
Can you I think I'm missing what you are trying to ask.
So when we request our phase two or outcome payments and they're denied because of code 27 or two, we have SGA pay stubs to send with that request, but we're getting denied because they're receiving federal cash benefits. So if they're receiving federal cash benefits and they're working at the same time, that's typically going to cause an overpayment for the beneficiary.
So the reason you're listing 27, right? That's suspended or terminated, but not due to work. So that's not the
code
same.
Code 2, right.
That's not the same as O2.
Right. I meant to say code 2. I apologize. Okay.
So, right. So, you know, like I said.
It's okay if you can't answer.
I know. I'm just like, I don't know how you requesting a payment based on there being SGA would update an individual's record. Like I said, you know, the process, if anybody else wants to weigh in, but the process of, you know, the disability determination process, right? And that entire aspect of an individual's record with Social Security is definitely not something we at the Ticket to Work program, right? We aren't updating those records and we aren't updating that information.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Casey. And Rebecca, our next question.
Yes. Our next question comes from Mary Lynn. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Actually, this is good timing because I'm following the question that was just brought up. So I believe the difficulty that some of us experience with those codes when if the EN has someone who's certified with the work incentives benefits planning, you know, we kind of have an understanding that we have the person over SGA, we're following when they should be going in or out of cash pay. And it just seems like it's all timing. Perhaps the local SSA office may not have the individual in or out of cash pay at a time that maybe we think it should be, and therefore the ticket portal doesn't have an updated date that coincides with when we think it should be allowed to be paid. So I just wanted to comment that I think that's the trouble or the difficulty that causes that an inability for the EN to get paid. But that isn't the real reason why I wanted to put my hand up. Is I had a question somewhat related to all of this, and that is, if you have an individual on SSDI, this is for an example because that's easier than SSI, and they have been informed that maybe 5, 6, 8 months ago, they really should have been out of cash pay status. But the ticket portal, when you go into the screen with show assignments, and then below it says in cash pay, out of cash pay. What I've noticed even today, there was a date changed. It said that went from in cash pay to out of cash pay, but the date was January of 2024. Should we assume that even though it might have been earlier than January of 2024, do we as the EN assume that that's really the date. It's not any date earlier than that, according to the ticket portal, because we really think it should be like July of 2023, but it says January of 2024. Or does that January 2024 mean that's just when it got updated?
Hi, Mary Lynn. Thank you for your question. I will ask Katie to jump in and answer this question as well.
This is Katie again. Can you speak to the resource you were looking at again for that information?
It's the screen when you go into the beneficiary's record that's called assignments. It's where you can kind of show history of assignments. And then down below it, it has if they're in or out of cash pay. It'll have a month, and then it'll have a yes or a no on the right-hand column.
Okay, and so you're asking for an interpretation of the chart?
So I'm kind of asking if the chart says January of 2024, they're not in cash pay anymore. Does that literally mean that got changed in January of 2024? Or does it just mean it got updated in January of 2024, but the effective date might have been earlier?
So the table is the effective date. You are correct. It is a history. It is a history table.
So if there's conflicting dates, should we bring that to someone's attention? Like if the local SSA office informed the beneficiary it was October and we've got a lot of proof that that's been a different date compared to the date that's in the ticket portal, who should we bring that attention to?
So the value in the ticket portal is this there for reference when you submit for payment, you know, I think like Kim alluded to, you know, when you actually submit for payment and then that payment goes to an individual to review the case, whatever it actually says on our records at that time, it is what we're going to use. You could only use that table as a reference. That does not guarantee that, you know, that means you are going to get paid for that month for whatever type you're seeking.
And vice versa.
So it's just anything in the portal is, you know, I just want to say that anything in the portal is just a reference, right? Even if the portal tells you earnings already proven, go ahead. You don't need to submit proof. There is a chance that you still might. It is the portal is just there. We have this helpful information there to kind of lead you towards what, you know, is potential, but you really can't use any information in the portal as a guaranteed payment. My favorite thing to lean on, at least with the situation of, you know, you are trying to get outcomes and, you know, you don't know if they're in current pay or not. I would say that is what I do find as the beauty behind ePay is that if there is a payable status, we will make you those outcome payments on ePay, right? We will check, and if they are not in current pay and they have made SGA, you will get that outcome payment via ePay. But you can also try via the ticket portal, and like I said, it'll get adjudicated, and the status at the time, you know, is the payment you get. But, you know, I just say there's just no hard and fast rule that if you submit it based on what you see in a chart, that's a guaranteed payment, because it's what our system shows. You know what I mean? I mean, the portal is in real time, but also, you know, your payments being adjudicated in real time by a real person with what they see in front of them. So, you know, information can change, and we have to pay based on what we see when we actually get to your payment. I think the first question about why can't the help desk tell me what month? So, you know, we want to try our best to guide you and I think get you, paid and you know, have you see what's available. But, you know, at the end of the day, all you can just try.
Yeah, I understand.
But if you have specific questions about specific ticket holders, you know, please do reach out to the help desk and we can, you know, try to help you.
Oh, definitely. I do.
Thank you, Mary Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mary Lynn. Bye-bye.
Again, we'd like to remind everyone that if any questions aren't answered today and you just reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And Rebecca, I believe we have another individual with a question.
Yes, our next question comes from Kathy. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like, and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Kathy. Okay.
This is not a billing question, but I'm hoping you could answer it. I think it's pretty easy. Got a couple of ticket holders who need to be discharged because in one case have decided to not work towards going off benefits and another is not making timely progress. I've looked for the process for unassigning a ticket, but I'm not finding it. Can you direct me on where I would go for just the process for unassigning a ticket for those reasons?
Thank you for your question.
Is it something other than just simply unassigning the ticket?
Thank you for your question, Kathy. I would recommend you can reach out to Ian Service and ask them the question, and they can give you the appropriate steps to take care of the ticket on assignment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And Rebecca?
Yes, so our next question comes from Jennifer. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Great, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Okay, great. I have a little bit of a complicated question. I guess I just want to make sure I'm understanding the process correctly. So I'm working with an individual who we thought when we assigned him would be eligible for phase one milestones 2 through 4. He is working at trial work level. However, he gets SSI and we didn't realize that he has ISM applied to his payment. And so what happened is his SSI payment stopped, even though he's not working over SGA. And because of that, he was then moved into the outcome payments phase, and we haven't been able to bill for any phase one payments. So I guess my question is whether we'll be able to get anything back for this ticket holder. I mean, I think his eventual goal, he said, is to eventually work full time, but we don't know how long that process will be. It's his first job, so he wanted to start out part time to get used to it. So my understanding right now is that we're kind of in a situation where unless he decides that he does want to work SGA and gets up to outcome 12, then we would not be able to get any payments from phase one. Is that accurate?
Let me make sure I heard you correctly. So you have someone, you were not able to get your phase one payments because within a short period of time, you were eligible for outcome payments just based on their income. Is that correct?
Correct, because he has ISM applied. So even though he's only working at trial work level, his SSI payments stopped because of the additional deduction for ISM.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with ISM. Kim, is this anything that has any relevance to?
It's the deduction for food and shelter. So his SSI base rate is lower, right? He's only getting $628 per month. And so his earnings, even though they're over trial work, stopped his SSI payment.
Okay, so Kim, step in if I answer this incorrectly. So basically, yes, what your initial thought was, once you reach outcome payment number 12, then if and when you reach it, then at that point, any phase one or phase two payments that were not paid to you would be picked up at reconciliation.
Right, and if he decides ultimately that he doesn't want to work full-time and doesn't want to do SGA, then we just won't be eligible for any payments on his record. Is that correct?
Correct, because we won't be able to go back and address the phase ones and the phase twos until you hit outcome number 12.
Okay, so there's no way to reconcile that, even though, like, he is working at a trial work level and I feel like we should really be eligible for those milestone payments. It just seems like there's a technical loophole where we can't now access them because his SSI payment has stopped.
Handing it over to Kim. She came off mute.
I think that wasn't my mistake. No, I was just playing. So you're right. Your understanding is correct. But, so once the ticket holder enters the outcome period, they are no longer eligible to receive phase ones or phase twos. And you're right. So if they decide not to work, then yeah, you would not be able to get any payments. And the question you were having about the, ISN or ISM, like Nicole said, we're not familiar with that. Because what we do is we process based on real time what's in the portal. Now, if you're thinking that something should be corrected or if there was a mistake, then I would encourage you to have the ticket holder contact their local field office, right? Because unfortunately, we're only operating by what we see in the portal at the time. So if it shows that the ticket holder went into suspense due to worker earnings, right? And there were those phase I think you said phase one milestones 2 through 4, that you were eligible for, but because they entered the outcome period, you cannot get right now. And your concern is that, okay, they may not even want to work to an SGA level. And so therefore you're not even going to get to outcome 12. If you feel that there's something on the back end, like there was something wrong with the way that his earnings was entered or accounted for, the only thing I can encourage you to is contact have the ticket holder contact the local field office, because our hands at, you know, SSA TPN with a ticket, our hands are tied because we can only process based on what we see.
Understood. I mean, I think it would be a helpful thing to look at in terms of, like, we don't control what living arrangements people have. So I think, like, if you were just looking at his earnings, he should be eligible for phase one. But the fact that he has that deduction for food and shelter means that he gets put into these outcome payments, even though his actual wages are way lower than most people in outcome payments. You know, I just think it's a area that maybe need to look at, because it means that a lot of vendors maybe are missing out on payments for those individuals. And we don't want to be encouraging people to change their living arrangements if that's the way that they, you know, have things set up and that the way they want things to set up. I'm just saying, in the system, it discourages basically assigning those people.
Right. And again, I think that would be a conversation that, again, the ticket holder can, you know, with your guidance, because you kind of articulated and defined that, maybe the ticket holder can, you know, speak to the local field office and go from there. Because again, until and if that's worked out on the back end, at this point, we can't do anything. We can't control that. We being SSA TPN with the ticket to work, you know, we don't update benefit status. We don't change it. That's out of our hands. So yeah, definitely, again, that's a conversation that should be held with the field office if there can be any changes.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't think it's an issue that nothing was processed correctly. I think it's an issue with how it's set up, but right. I appreciate you reviewing it.
Okay.
Thank you, Jennifer. Rebecca, I see we have more hands raised.
We do. Our next question comes from Paul. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute. Activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Paul Kegel with America Works. I just had two questions. So one is regarding the portal. So established earnings, if we go to request a claim, obviously it says established earnings if it is established. A problem I've had just a little bit is sometimes I request and it'll be denied for basically like proof of earnings. So whenever I reach out to the payment help desk, they said that even though it has established earnings, they can't see them for some reason. It's not all the case. It's just a small case, I would say, a handful of them. But could you explain a little bit further?
All right. Thank you, Paul. Katie, can you speak to what it is that he's seeing in the portal?
Can you repeat that one more time, please?
Sure. So I go to enter a claim and I see established earnings in the portal. So 9 times out of 10, I can submit it, you know, following procedures and it gets approved or whatever, it gets processed. But on the rare instance, you know, handful of times, it'll get denied and it'll be because earnings aren't established or earnings aren't on file. So that's why they denied it. I've reached out 1 or 2 times to ask about that, because obviously established earnings means that they are on file. And they said that for whatever reason, like they weren't able to see those established earnings. So I just didn't know if that was, you know, a special case that I should be aware of.
So like I said previously, you know, the portal does its best to give an indication of earnings, you know, it looks through some logic and to see if there are available earnings, but it is not the same as, like I said, when you get an individual who gets the actual case that you submitted and they sit there with all the earning sources and make a determination. It is just different. Then the portal is doing its best to say, hey, you don't need to send us some evidence because we already have some on hand. So that, you know, to save you sending paperwork to us that we potentially already have. You know, if you find that your rate of denial is, you know, the portal tells you that there's something there and you rely on it and it comes back and it's denied, then, you know, it may behoove you to just start sending the evidence with your claims to just back it up so that it's there and you don't have to resubmit again. You know, okay. It is just a tool we built that in there with the hope that it would kind of cut down on, like I said, you sending earnings that we already have, but It is definitely different than the portal telling you that there are earnings there that might be applicable. And, you know, when the individual gets your case and looks at everything that we have in our system. So
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, we've been basically waiting on the denial and then entering with the earnings on file if we have to. So just wanted to check on that. The last question I have is just on a denial reason, on sort of a way to combat it. So you talked about it actually earlier on this call, suspended due, but not due to work or earnings. So I guess a little bit on about REN is that me personally, you know, my team does the billing for ticket to work, but we don't sit in front of the client. We have representatives that do that. So we, you know, reach out to the representative, they reach out to the client. Is there something that we have to have the ticket holder do regarding that denial reason, or what's the, you know, how to correct that?
Thank you, Paul. I want to make sure I understood that correctly. So you have the benefits are in suspense, but it's not due to work or earning?
Yep.
Okay. So in those situations, that is when the ticket holder would need to reach out to the field office and rectify whatever that situation is to have their benefit situation updated. Or it may be something that's beyond their control and they can communicate that reason to you so that you'll know what's going on.
Okay, that's the guidance I've been giving. I just wanted to make sure that was still good. All right, that's all I need. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And we have time for one more question. So, Rebecca?
Yes, our last question comes from Michael. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute. Activate your video if you like and ask your question.
Thank you. Good morning / afternoon, everyone. So, just real quick, for Casey, Rick, and Mary Lynn, with regards to your question earlier, if you know one of your ticket holders is earning SGA and they're still receiving benefits after the trial work period, you can complete a SSA work activity report or have a local WIPA complete that form. And that will require the Social Security to do a formal determination on the wages. And that may unclog and have the record updated for everyone so you can start getting reimbursements on the other end. So that's what we've done. It's been very successful. So I thought I would share that.
Thank you, Michael. I wanted to stop you. Do you have a question, sir?
I do.
Okay.
So we are up for a program review. We were up 2 months ago. And so who can I reach out to get this review initiated?
Thank you for your question, sir.
You.
With that, I would recommend sending an email to the EN service team, and they will be able to point you in the right direction and give you the guidance that you request.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael. You have a great day. All right. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, all of our participants today. So on behalf of the SSA and the Ticket Program Manager, a special thank you to Nicole, our presenter, for the very informative updates. I'd also like to thank everyone for attending today's call. Just as a reminder, the recap, the PowerPoint, the transcript, and the audio will be available in 2 weeks on the Your Ticket to Work website. And we'll put that address and that URL in the chat. But you can go to the training and events archives, national calls, and just look for the quarterly all-in call for February the 6th. Again, thank you, everyone, and the call is now concluded.